strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
The timeless band, Bon Jovi. I took my 16-year-old daughter to a Bon Jovi concert. The Goo Goo Dolls and Bon Jovi. It was me, her, and then mothers and daughters, and it was awesome. Bon Jovi would play a new song, teenage girls would scream, and then he'd play one of the songs off this album, off the Slippery When Wet album, and the mothers would lose their minds and embarrass the daughters. It was awesome. Anyway, thanks for being here. Final hour of the show today on this Thursday. Great news for the Arizona economy. And there is a staffing company that is, it's called Robert Half. And they were talking about Arizona and the economy in general. So I think this was a general statement about the economy and what a great time it is for people looking to change careers.
Employers are also more open to exploring candidates outside the typical industry they may hire for. So that's a good thing as a candidate, which is you have more options than ever to switch industries, switch positions. Companies are eager for candidates and are open-minded.
One of the things, and I've been preaching about this for quite a while, is watching Arizona's economy change leaves doors open for people. When I moved here, Arizona State University, which has been such a big prominent part of this valley for such a long time, was known as one of the number one party schools in America. Dr. Crow and people at ASU have changed the impression of ASU. Not just here, but around the country and around the world. There are major firms that have come to the East Valley where their campus is because of their engineering school. And we're seeing the innovation that's there. But what has happened with bringing industry here is those students that graduate from our state universities are in lower numbers than they were before, looking to leave Arizona to go somewhere else to make a living. We are now going to see a generational change, and it will affect everything we do. And I know it sounds silly, but remember when the Diamondbacks came here? I do. When you would go to a game as the years went on, and then they won a World Series, but when the years went on, you would see kids wearing D-backs jerseys, and the parents would be wearing the jerseys of the city they came from. And we have always been such a transient place. The Cardinals are a lot of people's second favorite team. I'm a Cardinals fan when they're not playing this team. And it was the same thing. The Suns were the ones that have always been just a Suns town because they've been here since the 70s. But as we see families stay here and multiple generations stay here, I believe you're going to see more of that home team atmosphere, and not just with sports. And if you've got kids, our kids that we are spending money to educate, in primary school and in secondary education, trade schools, at School Choice Week. I've talked before about all the things that have gone on and how we've improved CTE, career technical education. And another thing to look at with CTE, I want to mention this. It's a little bit off track, but just to make sure I drive this home. If you look at the college rates and the high school graduation rates of CTE students, it's through the roof. When you take a young person and you put them in a career technical education course, when they choose a pathway to learn something they want to learn, whatever that trade might be, whether it's cosmetology or it's nursing or EMT, or you've got someone that wants to be a firefighter or someone that wants to be a welder, I could go down a laundry list of all the trades that are available. Their culinary school is amazing at a place called EVIT, East Valley Institute of Technology. And when you look at what those CTE training does is those kids get into a program where they're working toward a career at a young age, and they buckle down and they do their schoolwork more often. It's been shown that it helps their grades. They graduate. So many of these students go on to college. People think you go to a trade school because you're never going to college. That's not necessarily the case. Many of these kids become stellar college students with a trade, with a skill. So that's a big, important part of who we are. And why would we want to educate those kids at the high school level in CTE and have them look for someplace else to go for an opportunity? We're feeding somebody else's family in that way. Now with Arizona State being, and there's others, but because we're in the Valley, Arizona State University and Ohio State University traded off for such a long time as being the number one in overall enrollment in state universities in the country. And instead of us educating our kids here and sending them to other places with that education to find the opportunity they want, they're finding the opportunities here in Arizona. And I believe that attitude shift, there are some people that just want to get out and they, you know, they want to go spread their wings somewhere else. It's not a knock necessarily against Arizona. They just want to spread their wings somewhere else. But if they can do that here with the diversity of what our economy is doing, and as you just heard Travis Laird say, the opportunity now is to do those things. You can, without experience, change careers because employers are just looking for motivated, teachable people. And I always get worked up and kind of passionate about this because that's the only thing that saved me. And that is the only thing that saved me. I was willing to show up on time, do what I was asked, and work hard. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know I wanted to be an electrician. But when I showed aptitude, when I showed willingness to learn, my bosses bent over backwards throughout my service in the trades. And when I moved here to Arizona in 1995 with 10 years experience in the trade, other employers, other people I worked with were willing to, not just willing, they were asking to teach you more. And that is an amazing opportunity to have. And we're hearing now about the Arizona economy. Metro Phoenix set a record in the workforce with 2.3 million people in the workforce at the end of 2021. I mean, that is remarkable. And we're growing. Look around. You know you're living in a vibrant place when you drive around and all you can see cranes everywhere. And, you know, we are growing, and we're not just growing in a way in one area. We are growing in a diverse way where your kids, when you ask your children or grandchildren, what do they want to be when they grow up? The opportunity, pretty much from whatever they say, unless it's they want to drive a snowplow, their chances here in the Valley are good that they're going to be able to do it and that they're going to be able to find a career here. And then their kids are going to go to the schools that they went to. And that generational thing isn't just an oddity. I mean, how many times have you ever talked? This happened to me all the time. You'd ask somebody, where are you from? And they'd say, I was born and raised here. You would go, oh my gosh, I finally met one. And you'd hear, well, you know what? I'm fourth generation. Well, I think a lot of that's going to happen here. People are going to continue to come. We're going to be a transient place. But it is going to be a place where when we educate our kids and our grandkids that they'll want to stay here. They'll want to be a part of this community. And that's when you build a real community, when people are not looking for, here's what I need to do to get to where I want to go somewhere else. I love the opportunity that this economy is providing. I think it should be the goal and the mission of all of us to continue this trend for as long as we can. And I think we're on the right path. That's why I talk so much about the elections and ideology and philosophy and policy, because do what works. And when you find something that works, keep doing what works. And I hope that's what we're going to do here in Arizona in these important elections that we have coming up. In a moment, we get you caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. It's called Did You Hear This? And it happens in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, we're either going to call paramedics because someone got shocked, or we're going to do Did You Hear This?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
First rule of radio is never take responsibility for anything, so I won't. All right, one of the candidates running for superintendent of public instruction in Arizona is Shiri Sapir. This morning, Mike, you asked her how she feels about Governor Ducey's summer school proposal.
Our kids are 2 years behind at this point, okay? So we absolutely have to bring a lot more time in the classroom for them to bridge the gaps. I think it's a crime that up until now they did not use the ESSER money to give more tutoring for these kids.
Was she saying the governor should have done more to help the kids catch up there?
I think she said that more needs to be done eventually, that we need to be able to get kids caught up faster, that they're 2 years behind. And I think that a lot of this is, I'm interpreting what she said, is that there's a responsibility for the school board or the superintendent of public instruction to do more to focus on that, getting kids remedial reading, remedial math. And I think a big first step is going to be these summer schools, these summer camps. I do believe that what the governor did is a very good step in the right direction. But we all should be very concerned about the fact that we were not reading at grade level and we are close to 2 years behind again. We need to really fix this or we're going to lose almost an entire generation of kids because they can't read now. They won't be able to read later.
Yuma County Supervisor Jonathan Lines met with Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas yesterday in Yuma. Now, this morning, Lines told you the Biden administration appears to be having a change of heart about securing the border, including...
Our capital request was to complete the wall and to energize all of the resources. And he was able to see the assets, meaning the rusting sections of wall that have been sitting there since the inauguration, and committed to getting those taken care of in a really short period of time.
Is the Biden administration serious about this, or are they just realizing this is an election year?
I don't know, and that's the thing. To be honest with you, right now I don't care what the motivation is. This is long overdue, and when I asked Mr. Lines if he felt as if, and we're going to hear more, you're going to hear more of this in a couple of moments, if he believes this is a policy shift or a shift in policy, he said absolutely that he's saying things now he hadn't said before, and that he's made a commitment. He made direct commitments to do things to secure the border, get more people on it, get it lit up, and close those holes in the walls. And he made a commitment to give them an update in a couple of weeks of how it's going. And if he doesn't keep his word, we'll go back to the way it was. But at least it sounds like now they have shifted from policy, at least from Mayorkas' policy in his chair. You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time to get you caught up on the headlines. What's next?
Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring, meaning President Biden will be appointing a successor. The U.S. Senate decides on nominations, and in a 50-50 Senate, Vice President Kamala Harris may need to cast a deciding vote. Now, a Harvard professor just suggested the VP can't do that when it comes to appointments, but KTAR legal analyst Monica Lindstrom told us
there's nothing in the Constitution that says that she cannot cast the deciding vote when it comes to the appointment of a Supreme Court justice. There's nothing there.
A, do you expect a 50-50 split? And B, will there be an ensuing legal battle over this?
I really don't know. I don't know at all. It does depend on who it is that they choose as the nominee. And the other concern is who then becomes vice president and how is that picked? Because I don't know the answer. I know that back when President Kennedy was assassinated and President Johnson took power, there was no candidate. There was no vice president for a while. So, you know, with a 50-50 tie in the Senate, who breaks that vote or breaks that tie? I don't know the answer to that. There are so many opinions out there that it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. But I think that it's going to depend on who the candidate is and whether or not it's a 50-50 split or whether or not we get someone confirmed and move forward.
In the battle between a music icon and a superstar podcaster, sounds like podcaster won.
Neil Young fans searching for a new place to hear his music. The legendary rocker's songs no longer on Spotify per Young's request. He asked his label to pull his catalog because he believes Spotify is allowing dangerous and deadly misinformation about COVID-19 and vaccines to spread via its podcast, specifically Joe Rogan's super popular show.
So Young says he's losing 60% of his streaming income over this. Was this a dumb fight for him to pick to begin with?
It was a dumb fight for him to pick, but I'm going to say two things, and one of them is going to be controversial. But I'll say this first. The guy's worth $200 million. So don't worry about Neil Young. Neil Young, although he dresses like he doesn't have any money, the guy's okay, number one. Now I'm going to be controversial. I was never a fan. I never understood Neil Young. And I like that. I like that generation of music very, very much. I didn't get it. I mean, the whole generation of Bob Dylan, and I get all of that. Jimi Hendrix, of course. I never got Neil Young, never understood why he was so popular. So, I think it was a dumb fight for him because he's going to lose a possibility of a generation of his music in a fight that was meaningless. It was him canceling himself. He's so woke, he canceled himself.
But if you're going to cancel yourself, make sure you have hundreds of millions in the bank.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to lose 60% of my streaming revenue. Okay, but what was his streaming revenue? $20,000 a year? I don't know that this generation is buying his music.
Well, and a year ago, he sold half of his catalog for $150 million.
Which is how he's worth $200 million. $200 million. That to me is crazy. But that old generation, you know, Janis Joplin, it was, they were a part of the counterculture. If you remember, it was expand your mind and free thinkers and love the one you're with. And now it's, you know, sit down and shut up. Do what you're told. I don't know how that fits with the with his generation. But we are way, way behind. We talk about the border in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. Just about to close it out here. A little bit of time left, though, and a very important conversation with one of the supervisors from down in Yuma County, Jonathan Lines. And he was in a meeting yesterday with the mayor of Yuma and with Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas from Homeland Security. And he had a different perspective on this meeting from other meetings, saying that Mayorkas had a different policy, a policy shift, and said that they are going to put the rest of the border wall up, fill the holes in the existing border, light the border wall up and get the electric finished so that they can light the border up and get more people down on the border so that Yuma County is not under the same kind of a siege that it is right now. Now, that's my word. That's not their word. And I want you to hear, I asked him, okay, did he give you a timeline on all of this?
He told us that he would be back in D.C. after stopping in Texas last night and today, and that he was going to try to get everything up and going within the next few weeks. That was what he directed his people there in the office to do. In addition to completing the wall, which was, you know, the capital request, additional permanent agents, not just people detailed to Yuma.
Now, from my perspective, that seems like a policy shift from the administration that they're cooperating and want to get some of these other things done, where they were, you know, President Biden ran on kind of being anti-wall. Do you see this as a policy shift? Did this seem like a shift in attitude from that, from Secretary Mayorkas?
It absolutely seems like a shift in his policy. I hope that he's here to fulfill his commitments that he made to us in the Yuma community.
So this would be a little bit of a light in a dark place. I'm not jumping for joy yet. It's a lot, you know, this should have been done a lot sooner, but you got to make a choice in life. And, you know, when you see positive things, at least promised, now it's wait and see, trust but verify. The commitment made by Secretary Mayorkas is that within a couple of weeks, he is going to have another Zoom meeting with the mayor and the supervisor, and they are going to talk about progress and where they are. Now, if we don't see progress and it was nothing but lip service, then, of course, I will have Mr. Lines back on here, or the mayor of Yuma or whoever, to talk about empty promises. Because in the end, it is about politics, because politics dictate policy and policy is what drives everything. And Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, works at the pleasure of the President of the United States, implementing the policies of that president. And if this administration does not want to do these things, they won't. And the American people are kind of fed up. And the American people, this isn't just an Arizona problem or a border problem. People are being, and there was a videotape of this the other day, people are being shipped, and this was men, when individuals and not families under Title 42 are to be deported. There were busloads of men that were then being taken into a building in Texas, and then a few minutes later, cabs were showing up, and reporters went up and asked these migrants, where are you going? And they were going to places like Miami and Houston and other cities across the country. So this is not something that's limited just here. But there is another level to this. There is other things that happen, which is, of course, the drugs that are brought into this country and the other crimes that are being committed that are being spearheaded by the cartels. There is a story that should concern all of us as Arizona citizens, as just citizens, as human beings. There is a story here in Arizona about children that we all should be concerned about. And what we're going to do in a moment when I get back, before we finish the show, how all of this is connected in a way and how it's bigger than your political stance or my political stance, that this is real humanity that's suffering from the bad policies and the bad practices. And there's real life examples of it. I'm going to give you some of those examples next.
Next. strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
It's like reliving my youth. I want to go out and put on some parachute pants. Thanks for being here. A very serious story to kind of end the day to tell you why this is such an issue for the things that I talk about. Wanting what's best where we are. And here's a headline. This was done by our Taylor Tassler here at KTAR.com. Homeless young adults in Arizona remain at risk of human trafficking while resources are depleted. Taking care of these are young adults, 18 to 25. But the issues they find themselves in don't start when they're 18. They just become adults. The ability for young people to get off the streets, to get they call them drop-in centers for young adults, are non-existent in many places because of what's going on. Homelessness to me is it's something very personal. And I've told the story so many times, I don't want to get back into it too much. But homelessness here is so personal to me anywhere. But homelessness is. I had a cousin who was like an older brother to me that was homeless. And he was one of the people that did not want to get off the streets. He had opportunities. He had family support. And he had gone off the rails for a number of reasons, using drugs and alcohol. But he would come and go to his sister's house. And my cousin died. My cousin died in a homeless camp outside of Vegas. And it was such a devastating loss to me, not just that he died, but that his life had taken such a dramatically bad turn and nobody could help him. But in the end, when I would see my cousin, I still saw my cousin. I know that that sounds silly, but it wasn't when you see a homeless person, there is something that in your mind you picture about them, or you know, there is a stigma. Homelessness is a serious issue. And now we're talking about young people that are being preyed upon because they're in a desperate situation. I've talked with you about the medical care that is given homeless people through an organization here called Circle the City. These are people that see homelessness and say those people need help. There are predators out there that see homeless people and see it's someone you can get over on. Many of these people, about 50% of them identify as LGBTQ, and they are 89% of homeless young adults between the ages of 18 and 25. They talk to 89 homeless people, 18 to 25 in Phoenix and Tucson. 40% of them had experienced exploitation from sex or labor trafficking, and nearly 50% of them are LGBTQ. Now, it shouldn't matter what your sexual orientation is, but when we have young people, not only are they not getting the help that they desperately need, we know that there is a segment of our society that's preying on them. And they didn't just become this. These things happen over time. And many times they're young teenagers, they end up homeless, or they, what they call what's called couch surfing. And they fall into a desperate situation with, and once you kind of spiral in some of these things, it becomes less and less possible for you to get out. We have got to do something about human trafficking. And it's such a gross subject. It's something no one wants to talk about. And I don't blame you. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to talk about it. It makes your skin crawl. The preying upon people, especially young people, it's just a horrible thing that happens. But we have to recognize that here in Arizona, it's a destination. When you have big events like the Waste Management Phoenix Open, when you have Barrett Jackson, the Super Bowl next year, when you are bringing 90, 100, couple of 100,000 people, what you end up having is the dregs also want to prey on this. And awareness is part of it. Scottsdale PD is doing a great job with this. So are other agencies of training people. You know that they train people in Vegas, and I think they do it here too in casinos and places like this, where they are training dealers and floor bosses and pit bosses and waiters and waitresses. They are training them to look for signs. They do it on airlines. You know, the flight attendants are trained to look for signs of human trafficking. And it's just one more level, another set of eyes that's looking out at a very despicable problem in our society. And what really gets me about this is most of us would think those poor kids, but they would never consider it happening to their children. And I can tell you, I came from a very tight-knit family, and I never would have imagined anybody in my family would be homeless, especially with the support they had. And I had a cousin that was on the streets. And there are so many parents that will tell the story, or a survivor will tell the story. They never imagined it would be them in that scenario until it was too late and they couldn't get out on their own. And so awareness is a big part of this. Awareness before something happens is a big part of it. And we know with the cartels, this is a big piece of this puzzle. And it is all a big part of a disgusting thing that's happening that we kind of turn a blind eye to. With all of the good things that are going on that I am so happy about and we want to keep moving forward with the economy and other things, it's terrific. But we can't leave all of these people behind. There's got to be something that we can invest in to help some of these young people that want help, that are willing to get help, that we're there for them. And I hope that we work toward that. All right, we are just about out of time. All you social media users, every day I tell you, at Broomhead KTAR is how you can follow me on Twitter. At Broomhead Show is just the show account that updates you on what happens on the show. And Mike Broomhead, all one word, is how you find me on Instagram. Go and check out my Throwback Thursday picture from my cowboy days. It's pretty cool. Have a great day, everyone. God bless.